Look in your Bibles at Psalm 56, beginning in verse 11. David is writing this psalm and says in Psalm 56, verse 11, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." And that's the first thing I want you to remember, is that we are to trust in God. No matter what happens in our lives, we are to trust in God. In verse 12, he says, "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." For, verse 13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Correctly read that Psalm 56, verses 11 through 13. The main thought that's on my heart this morning is found in the 13th verse, where David says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." That's the first thing I want us to look at. God has delivered our soul from death. And then he says, "Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" God's already delivered our soul from death. Now he's saying, "Will you also deliver my feet from falling?" The reason he wants God to deliver his feet from falling is expressed in the last statement of that 13th verse. He says, "The reason I want God to keep my feet from falling is that I may walk before God in the light of the living." He says, "If God will help keep my feet from falling, then I will be able to walk before God in the light of the living." So there are three very clear and distinct statements in that verse of Scripture. First of all, he says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Let's go back and begin with that first expression where David says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death." I want us to all first understand that when Adam sinned back there in the Garden of Eden, the Word of God tells us plainly that when Adam sinned, that death passed upon all mankind. I want you to go to the New Testament to see that teaching very clearly. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5, because I want you to see that when Adam died, we all died in him. Because of the sin of Adam, we are all sinners by nature, and as we live, we become sinners by practice. That is, I am a sinner not only because I sin, but I am a sinner because of the sin of Adam. I am, before God comes into my life, I am dead in trespasses and sins. That's what Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were," what's the next word there? "And you hath he quickened who were" "Dead in trespasses and sins." Now that's not a physical death. That's a soul death, a spirit death. I was dead in trespasses and sins, and God came to me and quickened me and made me alive. And now in Romans chapter 5, the Word of God explains the reason that I was dead in trespasses and sins because of the sin of Adam. Look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. The Word of God says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." By one man sin entered into the world. Who was that one man through whom sin entered into the world? Who was that man? That was Adam. In fact, in the Corinthian letter, that Adam that we're talking about right now is called the first Adam, and then Jesus Christ is called the second Adam. The first Adam is the head of all mankind, and then we have the second Adam that is our Savior, Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior of all of His people. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy, and the second Adam is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord from heaven. Look now at Romans 5, verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and what came by sin? And death by sin." Does everybody see that? He says, "Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." What does he say? Death passed upon all men. Now, brethren, what does the text say back there in Psalm 56 and verse 13? What's the first statement in that text? After he said in verse 11, "In God I will put my trust," he says, "for the Lord hath delivered my soul from what?" Yes, my soul from death. God has already delivered my soul from death. Now, in what way has he delivered my soul from death? Well, first of all, he has delivered me from a death that is an eternal death and separation from God. I want you to go in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. Go forward just a few pages. I want you to see that there are many different deaths that God has delivered us from. The word death means separation. And what would you say is the worst death and the most horrible death that's mentioned in the Word of God? Is it just dying, a physical death? Is that the worst death there is? Absolutely not. The worst death is eternal separation from God. That is to be in eternal hell when we die. The word death means separation. When you die, let me ask you this question. When you die physically, is that the end of life? Or is that just the separation of life from the body? That's what death is. Death is the separation of life from the body. Sometimes we have individuals that we've been very close to, and that relationship or fellowship, that fellowship dies. What do we mean? It means we're separated from fellowship with those individuals. God has delivered us from a death that we could not deliver ourselves from. God has delivered us from many deaths that we could not deliver ourselves from because we were dead. Look now at 2 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Please look at your Bibles in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Word of God says, let me read 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. The Word of God says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why did we have the sentence of death in ourselves? We have the sentence of death in ourselves because of many different reasons. One is because of the sin of Adam. But we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Now what did Psalm 56:11, what did David start out by saying? I will trust in God. Then he comes down in verse 13 and says, I'm going to trust in God because he has delivered my soul from death. What's Paul saying here? He's virtually quoting Psalm 56:11 through 13. When he says in verse 9, I'm going that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God, which, what's the last phrase in verse 9? Trust in God which raiseth the dead. Is there anybody here that has the power to raise the dead? No. Is there anybody here that has the power to raise the dead? No. Can money raise people from the dead? If you've got $1 million, can you then raise people from the dead? And that's the reason the Word of God is telling us here that we're not to trust in men. And the Word of God says that we're not to trust in uncertain riches, but we are to trust in whom? God. Trust in God. Why? Trust in God which raiseth the dead. That shows the power of God is that he raises the dead. There was a man in the tomb whose name was Lazarus, and Jesus came to that man and raised him from the dead. That was a physical death, and Jesus raised him from the dead. He has that power, but he has also the power to deliver us from an eternal death. He says in verse 10 that we should trust in God which raiseth the dead. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:10 says, trust in God, who, pronoun in verse 2, is referring back to whom in verse 9. That's right. God. Trust in God, who God delivered us. What does David say back there in Psalm 56:13? Thou hast delivered. Something that's already accomplished. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. That's the first thing I want you to remember. He says that God has delivered us from so great a death. What do you think that so great a death is that God has delivered us from already? That's that eternal death, separation from God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. It's because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. That's the reason and the way that we were saved from so great a death. He hath delivered us from so great a death. What's the next expression in verse 10? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. Does God deliver you many times in your life? Have there been times during this past week God has delivered you from dying? Yes. Have there been times during this past week that you could have died and you would have died if God had not delivered you from different circumstances and conditions in your life? There may be many times that it happens that you don't even know that it happened, but there are times in my life that as I look back, I know God has delivered. He not only delivered me by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, but He doth deliver. Do you follow that? He is delivering us from death day by day. He has delivered us from so great a death, and He doth deliver. And what's the next phrase in that verse? After He says He doth deliver, He says, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Is Jesus going to deliver you from death in the future? Is there a death that you're going to face, that one day Jesus will deliver you from that death in the future? He's already delivered you from so great a death by the crucifixion and shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is delivering you from death day by day. And I believe with all of my heart, I know that one day Jesus is going to deliver in the future. He's going to deliver all the saints of God. Our bodies are going to be raised from the grave. And we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. And we're going to be carried home to be with the Lord forever. He hath delivered. He doth deliver. In whom we trust, He will yet deliver us. Isn't that a powerful God that's able to deliver from death? And that's what David is talking about there. About back there in Psalm 56, verse 13, when he says, I'm going to trust in God. That's what he says in verse 11. Because He hath delivered me. Thou hast delivered me from death. Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Now what's the second statement he makes in Psalm 56, 13? After he says, Thou hast delivered my soul from death. What's he next say? Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Does everybody follow that? Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? You follow what that's talking about? He says, you've already delivered my soul from death. Will you not also deliver my feet from falling? And brethren, I believe with all of my heart that God will deliver. When we look to God, have you ever fallen down in your service to God? And I think that's what that's talking about when he says, Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Have you ever fallen down? Have you ever fallen backwards? Have you ever gone in the wrong direction? We call it backsliding. We call it falling down. David talked about how his feet slipped and he fell down in his service to God. Have you ever failed God? Have you ever fallen down? Have your feet ever slipped down and you fell down in your service to God? I'm telling you what David says in Psalm 56, verse 13, is God has delivered us from so great a death. He has delivered our soul from death. And then he says, Lord, will you also deliver my feet from falling? You delivered me from death. Now will you also deliver my feet from falling? Shouldn't that be a prayer that every one of us has every day? God, in your mercy and in your grace and in your strength and your power, will you please deliver my feet from falling. Will you please help me so that I won't fall down, so I won't slip down, so I won't backslide. Will you please help me that my feet might not fail me and that I might not fall down and that I might not go backwards? Do you need to be praying that? I believe with all of my heart that we do. We need to be praying. Listen, brethren, I've fallen down so many times in my life, it's absolutely unbelievable. Sometimes we look at people and we think, well, they never fall down. There's not a person in this building that hasn't fallen down in your service to God. There's not a person here that hasn't backslidden. There's not a person here that hasn't from time to time fallen down. Your feet have slipped. And one of the reasons that our feet slip and we fall down in our service to God is because we're not praying like David did in Psalm 56:13 when he says, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" I need to be praying every day, "God, keep my feet from falling. Keep me from doing something that would result in my feet falling. Keep me in paths of righteousness so that my feet will not fall. Lift me up and hold me and plant my feet on solid ground that I will not fall or fail in my service to God." I believe I can do much better in my service to God in the future than I have in my past. And I believe that if I pray what David was praying back there in Psalm 56:13 when he said, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling?" God, will you deliver my feet from falling? Would God deliver your feet from falling? Let me just ask you that question. If you're asking God and you're praying to God and you get up in the morning and you say, every morning when you get up, if you say, "God, will you deliver my feet from falling today?" Don't you think it would make a great difference if every day you were looking to God and you were acknowledging, "God, without you I will fall down. Without you I'll go backwards. Without you I will yield to temptation. Without you I cannot make it during this day. And therefore I should begin every day by saying and declaring, "Thou hast delivered, you've already delivered my soul from death. Now I'm asking you, will you please deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before thee," and that I might walk before thee, the rest of that verse says, "in the light of the living." Do any of you know what walking before God in the light of the living, if you were to bring that into New Testament scriptures, do you know what that would be? Talking about walking before God in the light of the living, you know what that would be? The same as the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God is something God has prepared for His obedient children while they live here on this world, in this earth. And listen, brethren, when my feet fail me, when I fall down, when I slip down, when I go backwards, when I fall backwards, I'm no longer in the light of the living. I'm no longer having fellowship with my God. And so David understands back there in Psalm 56:13, "I know the power of God. I trust in God. I believe in the power of God. I know that God has delivered my soul from death." And now he's saying, "Wilt thou not also deliver my feet from falling, that I might walk before thee in the light of the living?" Go with me, please, back in your Bibles to the 40th Psalm. Please back up in your Bibles to Psalm 40. I want you to notice verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. Has God already, let me ask you this question while you're turning to Psalm 40. Has God already delivered your soul from death? Yes, He has, absolutely. By the sufferings and the life and the sufferings and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He's already delivered your soul from death. "Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not also deliver my feet from falling?" Yes, He will. Thank you, Sister Nellie. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. You may not be able to walk one step, but did you know you can fall? Even though you might be bedridden, can you still fall spiritually? Can you fall away from God? Can you fall away from your service to God? Is there only one way you can keep from falling away from God? There is only one way. And that is if God will uphold you and guide you and strengthen you and give you the grace you need Wilt not thou keep me from falling? Wilt not thou keep my feet from falling, that I might walk before thee in the light of the living? I want to live in the light of the living. I want to dwell in the light of the living. I want to dwell in the kingdom of heaven. I want to have fellowship with God every day. In order to do that, I have to... Well, I almost said I have to keep my feet from falling, and I think there's an element of truth in that. I have to keep my feet from falling. Would you please tell me how I can keep my feet from falling? How can I keep my feet from falling? How can I? That's right. By looking to God, like David did. That's what he did. He kept his feet from falling by looking to God, who's the only one who can help us and keep our feet from falling. Do you think I would ever commit adultery? Do you think I would ever commit adultery? Okay, heads are going both ways. Let me tell you something, brethren. I don't think I would ever commit adultery, and a lot of other sins I don't think I would commit, but I want you to all understand that if it's not for the grace of God and the strength of God and the power of God, there's no sin I would not commit. It is the restraining grace of God. It is God helping us that keeps us from yielding to temptation. And I pray with all of my heart. I'll tell you the most horrible dreams I ever have in my life. Sometimes I dream that I've done something that's brought open shame and reproach on the cause of Christ. And that, brethren, causes me to wake up crying and sweating. I am afraid that I will yield to temptation, and that my life in service to God would be destroyed, that my feet would slip and I would fall away. I'm not talking about falling out of eternal heaven into eternal hell. I know that I'm kept by the power of God. I know I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. I know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can be separated from fellowship with God while we live here in this world. And that's what happens when our feet fall and our feet slip and we fall away. It's a serious matter. It's a hell on earth. Instead of walking before God in the light of the living, it's a horrible thing to be cast not in and not be in that light, but rather to be cast into what? Outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That passage in Matthew 25:14-30 is not talking about somebody dying and going to hell. It's talking about a servant of God that didn't use his talent, and because he didn't use his talent, his foot slipped, and because his foot slipped, he was cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you want to do? You want to be in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Or do you want to walk before God in the light of the living? What do you have to do in order to walk before God in the light of the living? Does God do it all for you? No, you've got you who have been delivered from death. You who understand the power of God who has delivered you from death, so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust will yet deliver. You need to be looking to God every day and crying to God like David did in Psalm 56:13 and say, "Will not thou deliver my feet from slipping? God, I beg you, deliver my feet from slipping." If I know how weak and frail I really am, you know, I'm a weak creature. Did you know that? I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about I'm a weak human being. And all of us need to know how weak we are. That without God, Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. I can't do anything that pleases God without God's help. The Word of God says, it's God that worketh in me, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Every time I've ever had a desire to do what's right, it was God that was working me that put that desire to do there, to do that that's right and good. And every time I've ever proceeded and done that that was good in His sight, it was the grace of God that enabled me to do it. So we can, by the grace of God, with God's help, we can keep our feet from falling. Does He have that power? Does He have that much power? Oh, listen, He's got more power than we can comprehend. He's got the power to deliver from death. He's got the power to deliver from death. He's got that much power. Can He also keep our feet from falling? Certainly He can. Psalm 40 now, listen please, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Word of God says, David is again speaking. David says in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. Do you need to wait on the Lord? Yes. Have you ever run before God? Have you ever gotten in a hurry and you went ahead and did something without waiting on the Lord? Have you ever done that? Have you ever run in front of God? You know what I mean by that? Have you ever gone forward without waiting on the Lord? Let me tell you something, brethren. You know what will happen every time you run before the Lord, every time you don't wait on the Lord? You know what will happen? Tell me, in light of the subject we're looking at, what will happen when you run before the Lord? You'll fall down. Your feet will slip. That's right. Little child just starts to walk. They get holding your hand, and they're toddling along. And as they begin to toddle, what do they eventually decide they want to do? They've been holding your hand. They want to run a little bit. And they let go of your hand and they start running. What do they do without exception? What do? Boom. They fall down. What do they begin to realize? I've got to go slow. I've got to walk before I run. What happens to God's children spiritually? So often as we begin to mature, we think we can do it, we can handle it, and we forget how much we need God's help, and we go forward running along without the Lord, so to speak. And I hope you know what I'm talking about there. But we go running forth as if we can make it without God's help. We cannot make it one day, 1 hour, 1 minute. We can't make it without God. So David says in Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Did God hear what David was crying for? Back there when he says, Thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from slipping? Did God hear that prayer in the life of David? Yes, He did. He heard my cry, verse 2. Verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now listen to this next expression. And set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Who is it that did that? Did David raise him up? Did David raise himself up by the bootstraps? Is that what David did? Did David, who was a sinner, did he by himself change the direction he was going? No, he says, God brought me up out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You know why David was able to go forward and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? It's because the Lord kept his feet from slipping. If you ever stop praying that, you know what's going to happen? If you ever stop looking to God for the strength you need, if you ever stop praying, wilt thou not deliver my soul, my feet from slipping? If you ever stop praying that, what's going to happen? To him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed lest he fall. You'll fall and I'll fall. Any man begins to try to build a house. Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock. Who is that rock? Jesus Christ. And then the Scripture says that Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man that built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Can your house fall? Can your life be destroyed? Can your feet slip and you fall down to such a degree that in this world you can never again be restored, be lame the rest of your life? Can that happen to you and me? Yes, it can. What do we need to be praying every day? Lord, I trust in You. You've delivered my soul from death. Will You also deliver my feet from falling so that I can walk before Thee in the light of the living? He says in verse 3, after he talks about how God set His feet up upon a rock, he says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. You know what you'll do whenever you feel God? Have you ever felt God? Brethren, there have been times in my life that I was fixing to do something that was wrong, that God just intervened and kept me from it. Does everybody understand? Now, there are other times, listen, there are other times that He gives me the grace to resist temptation, but there have been times that I was headed toward temptation and God just intervened, slammed the door. You know what I mean? That's what God will do sometimes. Now, sometimes you go on through the door and you're going to suffer the consequences. But God is so powerful, He can slam the door, not even let you go through. That's not the way He normally does, I don't think. I think many times the doors are open, and we go through the door, and we experience great destruction. Go with me in closing. Go with me, please, to There are about 10 other scriptures on my heart. I'll just ask you this question in closing. If you go to God and you say, God, will you deliver my feet from falling? You've already delivered my soul from death. Will you deliver my feet from falling? Can you tell me any response that God might give you besides just a simple yes, I'll deliver your feet from falling? Let me tell you what I think God would say to us. There are many things that He would say that I haven't gotten there. What do you think He would say?
No,
say it again, Teresa.
Follow me.
Okay, there you are. That's a good one. Follow me! If you follow Christ, will you fall?
No.
No, not if you're following Christ, you will not fall. He will keep your feet from falling if you follow Him. Sister Jane?
Draw nigh to God. He's drawn nigh to God.
There you are. The Word of God says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. When you start crying unto God, God, deliver my feet from slipping, what's God going to do? He's going to draw nigh to you and hold you up and protect you and give you the strength and grace so that your feet will not slip. Say it again.
Walk in the light.
Yes. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. Jesus, well, that's the same thing as following Him, but if we walk in the light, our feet will not slip. You know when our feet slip? When we start walking in the darkness.
Amen.
Anybody else have another scripture before we close? Let me give you one in closing. Psalm 119, verse 105. You all know it by heart. Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist says, Thy word, listen carefully, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. You know what usually causes us to slip down? You get out there in the darkness. You start walking without the word of the Lord. You start walking without Jesus. You start walking without the living word. You start walking without the written word. And you're going to slip down. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If I follow the word of God and use the word of God in my life, that's what God has said. You're praying for me to keep your feet from slipping. And I'm saying I've given you my word. And now if you'll follow my word, your feet will not slip. May God help us to realize what a great blessing Jesus is, the living word, as well as what a great blessing is the word of God, the written word is, to God's people is my prayer for Christ's sake.